This is CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with CRB Ely. Live on Cliff Central.
Hi, everybody. This is CRB Ely live on The Threaded Exchange. And today I've got a really, really special show. Bongizo, I think you should be playing the melodies in the background. What are we? There we go. Welcome, guys. Today's show is really special to me. I think one of the things that you know about me is that I love art. And the most important thing about art is that I feel that as young black South Africans and even Africans, we are never given enough opportunities when it comes to art. We're always told when we're studying that we need to study for a real degree and have something to fall back on. But we're never really encouraged to follow our dreams. And today's show is all about, you know, artists that I really, really admire and how they broke those boundaries. I've got a summer-nominated artist, Bongizo Mabandla. I've got an illustrator, well, I can say a future award-winning illustrator, Maso Nwabe.
Hey.
And they're both Xhosa, so Xhosa Nation is in the building. Kenya today. But I think the way we're going to start the show is a bit unconventional. I've never had a live performance on the show. But guys, this is Bongizo Mabandla, summer-nominated artist. And yeah, I'm going to allow him to intro with the song to the show today. Bongizo, take it away. Yes, that is incredible. Wow, 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 wow. Guys, I think you have to understand, I'm one of those people where I'm never too cool to say that I'm a fan of someone's music. Like, I'm a diehard fan of this dude. And I remember the way I discovered his album, actually, I was on iTunes. You know how iTunes always, Masonabi, you know how iTunes always suggests what music you should listen to?
I don't have iTunes.
Well, Apple Music, iTunes.
No, but like,
even like Google Music, I think you should have earphones. I don't know if you can hear that. But I think like, in general, I always feel like when I listen to even Google Music, can you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Are there earphones there? Are there none? This sucks. Do you want to use my earphones? Are you good? Okay. Bongze says it's good. Why are you whispering? You can talk.
I'm good, thank you.
There we go. There we go. So another thing is, so I always go through Google Music or even any music platform, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, if I like a certain artist, so like the reason I found him is that I was listening to Tana Somerset's album. Then I was like, okay, let me find similar artists. Then there was this icon at the bottom with a white and sort of white. Yeah, they had all these print things happening. Yeah, yeah. And there's this little thin guy and called Bongezio. So I click on him. And then I see, okay, Xhosa, lyrics, whatever. Then I start listening to the music. And I remember I was with my mom. And I was like, who is this? This guy sounds amazing. And then I'm like, okay, I need to find this guy on social media. Then I went on Instagram. I even posted about him on Threaded Man. I'm like, yo, check this dude out. I DM him. I'm like, dude, I'm a fan of your music. He's like, oh, this is a bit weird. Like,
no, I didn't say that.
Like, fan. He's like, fan. Like, I'm like, no, my dude, I'm a cool person. Like, I do cool shit. I run this publication and I like your brand. I like what you're doing. Let's see how we can get to know each other, work together and support each other type of thing. Yeah. And after, I think, 6-7 months, he's finally here.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like, when people say I'm a hard person to get a hold of, I'm like, you haven't met Bongezio.
I know.
No, he's twisting the story, obviously, just a little bit.
There's a little bit of spice.
Yeah, a little bit of spice.
But is it not 7 months?
It has been, okay, but like, fine. I'm not sure what happened, but like, yeah, I've been like meaning to really like get back to you.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we're finally making this happen. This interview.
Also, like, he's going to be the cover star of The Threaded Man in my August issue. Because the thing is.
You said that on air. That's recorded, right?
Yeah. So, like, Masunabe is actually my art director.
Okay.
And we've been, like, sort of working on Threaded Man and thinking, okay, how can we do things differently? And we played around with this idea of, like, illustrating our covers. And then we're like, okay, let's chill with that. Let's see what else we can do. So I thought I had this idea and I'm like, I want to do this like sort of different type of cover that's like Africa is alive, Africa is here. Mm-hmm, like I don't want to, also I feel like in South Africa we always like use the same faces for shit.
Yeah.
So I wanted something fresh and something different. So I want to do like a dope ass cover with Bongezio and I want you to actually paint his face and shit. Like I want facial art. I want it to be very much like a Xhosa king. And I want to get like this model with him.
Prince.
With his like guitar. Like it must
why
be so sick.
Why prince, not king? Prince, why not king?
There's already a Xhosa king.
But.
Banom Jita Ustao.
It's not U King Ta.
No,
man.
That's a branding thing. The only king I know is Ustao. But you're a king. You're a king, so I'm very excited to work on it for the next 3 months and actually make it come out perfect. And most people don't know, but Threaded Man is actually changing. So Threaded Man, the actual name Threaded Man, is going to be used for my clothing brand. Mm-hmm. The magazine is going to be called The Thread Count. TCA, Thread Count Africa. Mm-hmm, and that is going to be actually be a physical print as well. So, and then TTM Africa will be the online, it will be the online platform, but it's going to be mostly an e-commerce website. And then you can actually purchase the magazine or download it through the website. Threaded Man is clothing, you know, Tom Ford, Threaded Man. That's what I'm going for.
I get you.
So he's going to be the actual first cover star of The Thread Count, the newly launched. And then after him, it's going to be Kagiso Rabada. Can you imagine like the level of people? And then after that, maybe Black Coffee.
Still
negotiating that one. So you see,
I'm hard to get hold of.
So you're setting the bar. Can you understand? He's setting the bar. So you're the first guy on there. Bongezio, how are you doing?
I'm very good, man. I'm having such a good day. Having like a really nice day.
So this is how we're doing today's show. It's very interesting. So I've got both of you guys in studio, Masunabe. For half an hour, you and I are going to interview him.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we're going to switch. We're going to interview you.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And you're
going to
tell us about being blind and shit. Because you can see. But like, guys, Masunabe is not blind. Evan, do you know interviews they asked me on YoTV last week, like, how does it feel to have a blind friend? I'm like, who? They're like, your illustrator.
So I'm like, Real Charles was a cast.
Dude, everybody is saying you're blind. Like,
I'm not.
You don't look blind, though.
I'm not. I just have an optical nerve failure. But I can see. It's just that my eyes are very sensitive to light.
Oh.
That's it. I never walked around saying, guys, I'm blind.
How many hands?
Five.
We've done a test. He's not blind.
I'm not.
He'll explain later. Now let's go to Bongezio. Dude. Where the fuck did you come from?
I just feel like this
is the thing. Like, there was no, like, sort of rise of Bongezio. It's just like out of nowhere he has an album on iTunes and then all of a sudden he's touring overseas. Like, Dude, where the fuck are you from?
Like, no, actually, I remember watching you. I think it was like probably like 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I was watching a show on SABC 2. I just don't remember the name. That's when I first heard of you.
Oh yeah. Né?
And I think didn't you release your album 2012?
Yeah, my first album.
Yes, I remember that album because I had a friend of mine who was obsessed with the music at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, at that time, we were all obsessed with hip-hop. You just be like, yella. And then the more this person plays this thing, and then you're like, okay, no, this is nice. This is nice, yo. So I heard of you. It was 2012, the first time I heard of you.
So where are you from, dude? Tell us about like your journey in music, man.
Wait,
can I ask how old are you?
That question you can't ask.
No, because like you look 25. That's the thing.
I'm a little bit older than 25.
So early 30s.
But we'll leave it there.
So he's like 50. He's been on the come up for like 30 years. No, I'm joking.
So if there's one question I don't answer, he's like, how old I am.
Yeah.
You know you're old when that question starts.
But he's a millennial. He's a millennial. He's within the millennial.
He's within.
He's somewhere between 25 and 31.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. From Mwokutsolo, originally. Mwokutsolo outside Mthatha. I went to different schools, I guess. Been from the Monty 2 years. Then I found the Lady Grey, this art school. And then there's a fund after. That's when really the music thing started to
So you moved from Eastern Cape and came to Joburg for after?
Yeah.
Yeah, for film school. So you wanted to be an actor, director?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I did. I was very serious about it. Yeah, I was going to become an actor. And I'd done it throughout high school, and I was really serious about it. And then I came on, and I started auditioning. And I did do a bit of acting, like Generations.
Yeah.
Sekolo and Partners and a movie. But it was very short-lived, yeah.
Short-lived.
Yeah.
So the music thing, how did that come about? I mean, the interesting thing for me that I want to know from you and what I want to personally learn is that I'm also from the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
And you know what it's like being in the Eastern Cape and the fact that it's almost like Eastern Cape is in another world of its own. It's like outside of South Africa where opportunity usually misses us.
Yeah.
Where certain platforms, as children in the Eastern Cape, were considered not good enough. So I'm always interested to hear about how did you make it out of that to be like, actually, I'm going to pursue this addict thing. I'm going to move to Joburg and then I'm going to do music. Like, what we face on that side of the world is much harder than what someone might face in Cape Town or anywhere else. I mean, we've got the lowest matric results in the country for the last 10 years. Like, not really. We've got the highest unemployment rate in the Eastern Cape. Like, it's bad. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's still quite rural, a majority of the Eastern Cape. So for kids to come out of that side and be on a world stage like you have, it's quite an interesting journey. I think that's more what I want to hear from you today. How were you able to dream about, like, yo, this is where I'm going type of thing?
Hard to say. I don't know. I think I grew up with like a lot of older people around me. Like I remember Eastern Cape is everyone.
But calls up.
I don't know. Do you guys remember that time Eastern Cape?
Yes.
It was like the thing to do about credit.
About credit, a failure.
Graduation party, and everyone would wear like gown to the graduation party. So I grew up like with a lot of people like that, like very like educational and like, you know, and very like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And like, you must pursue your dreams. So I did grow up in an environment that really encouraged me to be like whoever I wanted to be.
Yeah. And then so while you growing up like in the Eastern Cape and going to school, is music a thing at this point in your life?
Yeah, I've always loved music. Like I had a horrible voice growing up, but I've always, like, I was that guy. Like, I don't care if I'm off, I'm going to sing.
You're just going to sing.
Really?
Yeah, I was that very much. Like, they used to tell me to shut up. My mom will never admit to this.
Yeah.
But they used to tell me, like, shh, we are sending this puma off.
But then how are you still, so now people are telling you to, I mean, if someone told me to shut up, I can't do something, I'll be like, oh. So how do you, even though you're off, how do you continue? Like, what is going through your mind about music? What made you continue just singing and writing and exploring the medium?
I mean, like, when I did do music, I had to wait for people to be like, okay, you're good. Like, you know, I didn't really come in like, oh, guys, like, listen to my voice. I can do this. Yeah. I was quite like, hope people like what I do. But like, yeah, it was kind of that thing where you with your black parents and your black family, and they're like, you go to white school, to school with your white folks, and you do the same song, and they're like, oh my god, you have had me in tears.
Yeah. And then you come to AFTA, you pursue acting, you're in Generations, in Generations. He was the guy, you know, the waiters or the barman.
You don't notice
on screen. He was an extra.
They
is there?
Extra, yes. They called extras.
Ebe pa epeg.
Generations, they send in doing like club. Hey, dinangwe.
Guys, can I tell you something? I've been an extra in Generations. I was a bartender. Yeah, dude. For one episode.
Oh,
damn. Literally, I only did one. Not even an episode. I did 5 minutes, and I was like, I can't do this in my life.
A name and an age.
Mm-hmm. Really?
A name though. And I worked as when, it was kind of a serious thing for a while. Yeah.
Hectic. So now tell me exactly how do then, when music was like this passion you had on the side type of thing, you're focused on being an actor, how do you move to Joburg, go to AFTA, and then all of a sudden you're like, music is my, how did the music thing became your main hustle?
Yeah, I think I got really inspired. That year that I got to Joburg, I met MXO. Yeah.
Oh,
in the same flat, and he was like, one day he was like, yo, let's go, Mazambi. And like, I rushed down quickly, go downstairs, and get Joburg, so and Safun Boni Joburg.
Yeah.
So, and then Gandhi's just going down to downtown, and he was going to record Simpiwe Dan, the check is who was doing Simpiwe Dan.
Yeah.
I remember being in that studio, like, oh my god, I didn't know who Simpiwe Dan was at that time, but I was like, oh my god, I need to be part of this world. Like, I need to find a way. This is like next level. And I had stepped in accidentally. And then, okay, then I went home and a few months came out, went past, and then the Simpiwe Dan Azandisile album came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I had that connection with that day at the studio.
Wait, so you've been in Joburg that long? Hectic. Oh my god, like when Zandisile came out,
I know. Yeah.
Zandisile came out, 1000 grade, like, grade, what grade I was in?
Yeah,
grade
it was
eight.
2004. Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I was in grade four.
Yeah, but then you're old. Eh?
Yeah. I was in grade four.
Grade four.
So maybe he's 35 and older, guys.
Yeah. Like, if he was already done with maybe he's 40 at that time.
Maybe, and he's talking about MXO, guys. MXO
was popping in 2006. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Pitch Black Afro era.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So, okay, you hear Uzandisile and you're like, yo.
And I was like, oh. And like, I was just like, you know, I want to become a musician. Like, I just love music. And like, I read this story in the Drum magazine where she had purchased a computer to start recording, to develop herself as a musician. So I was like,
that's what I want to do.
I'm a serious artist. And that's when I got the job at Generations, actually.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think I was going to get paid my first 10,000. So I was like, oh my God, I'm getting a computer.
Rich.
Just like Simpiwe Dan. I'm going to.
And 10,000 sounds like a lot of money when you
get also, first time, I think, like, you're quite disciplined. Like, when I got my first, like, guys, when I got first my first paycheck of 3,500, I thought I was rich.
Yeah.
I went to Tabu and I spent all of it.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Like, I think my first, like, couple of payments, like, I balled. Like, for you to get yours first and, like, actually.
I was just following, though. But, yeah. And then, And then I started, like, just recording myself. And then I started changing. I'm trying to cut a long story very short. Then I changed my subjects at AFTA because I was just really doing well in music.
Yeah.
And then I got in Generations. And then I finished school. 2 years later, I met the guys from 340 Mil, Paulo Chipanga. And those were the guys that first gave me my first record deal. And, I started making music like that.
Wow, that's amazing. And then when did you... So let me give you background. So I think there's this group of like Xhosa musicians, né?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they keep passing down the baton like to the next generation. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there was like Tandi, so like literally like...
Before Tandi, so even...
Even before Tandi, so like remember Onda, Ringo Mahlingozi.
Yes, that's where I was going.
Oh, Ntando. Oh, King Da, for example. Oh, Simpiwe Dana.
Yeah.
you know, Ozonke. And then I've been wondering lately, like, who's the next one in line? And after, I feel like it's you.
After Onati, things are just like...
Yeah, because it's also about, like, all these artists over the years have taken a very much a homegrown sound and made it very modern. But I was always like, who's going to take it to that next step? You know, that next step of, in terms of the transitions between the songs, the style, the writing of the songs, the choruses, the way the songs are structured. And I listened to you and how you've done, you're a closer musician, but the way you compose and structure your songs is actually quite different. And I don't think people notice that. You know, and so do you feel that, like, now that you're nominated for a summer, are you in a place? Because I look at you and you're quite a guy who's not very serious. And I think you don't know how good you actually are. Do you think you're good?
I mean,
in all honesty, do you, honest about your work. Like,
no, I mean, like I'm just not like that type of a person. No matter what, that, like, you know, that's like, oh my God, I'm amazing about anything. I think anything can be learned and anything can be improved. And I've really worked hard on my music. I think, like, I'm a hard worker. I think that's one thing I could give myself. But I guess, like, as well, like, I do realize that people do relate to my music. I think that's one thing that I've come to realize. I think people really see themselves in my stories and in the way I view life, and I think that's really what is special about what I do is that I think a lot of my music is about searching for happiness and searching fulfillment, and people, I think, really latch on to that.
Yeah.
And they see it in their own lives. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying. You're saying, like, music is like this journey for you. Like, tell me the relationship between your music. Like, how does it make you feel when you're singing and writing these songs for your nominated album? What is going through your mind? Like, what inspires you to write? What do you write about? Like, I always sit and I think, yo, this song is really dope. Like, how did you wake up and make this song happen? So, like, with you, like, what is your writing process like? Or do you just walk home? Or do you get home and you're like, okay, I'm going to write a song? Or is it a hectic process? Like, walk me through that relationship between you and music and how that influences your writing.
Yeah, very interesting question, by the way. I think so, yeah. I think definitely. I think I write with ideas. I get ideas, you know, and I'm influenced. I listen to a whole range of music, like Adele, Beyonce, Zimpiwe Dana, Matala Kunene, and like right now I'm listening to a lot of Sia. The Australian singer. Yeah. And I think I get ideas like that. I think right now I'm working on a new album, and like, I think mainly what's interesting about what the work I'm working on now, it's like, it's all going to be about relationships. And like, it's very different from the work that I've done. My work is, the first one was about identity and self-esteem. The second one was more about spirituality. This third one is going to be about relationships. And it's really written about those feelings that you get. So, Kubone, like, have you ever spent, like, maybe a year with the same person? You spend, like, every day with that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you see each other, and everyone will ask you about And then you take it, like, 5 years later, you never see that person. It's like, you know, you see each other, and that nostalgia I'm writing. Like, so, like, that's the idea, really.
So do you think, like, these three albums, do you think they represent a stage in your life?
Yeah.
So is that what you're going through right now that you're writing about?
Yeah, I'm really seeing the connection with the people that I've met in my life and how deep it is. Like, my best friend from high school, like, from primary school, when hit her up go Facebook, like, yo, long time.
Yeah.
It's like, it does something to my emotions. It makes those moments so meaningful. Like, I think sometimes we pass through life thinking, this is just happening. And then, like, when you're older, you connect the dots, you're like, I am, like, the person I am because of, like, you know, and it's about my mother and failed relationships and the lack of love that I didn't get and exes and how some of them we don't speak ever now, but like is that love still there? And like, yeah, all those things.
Yeah. Do you think like, and I also think like the craziest thing about, for me, about memories, and I think that what makes me emotional or nostalgic is that, especially with my high school friends, there's moments when you look back in hindsight, there's moments in your life and you're like, fuck, that was an incredible moment. But in that moment, I never realized it was an incredible moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when you're growing up as a kid, like I think about the first time I think about the first time my best friend fell in love. But I was laughing at him on some, you're in love, dog. Yeah. That's so dumb. Like, who does
so
that?
Dumb.
But then I realized how beautiful that moment was and how I was present for him falling in love for the first time.
Yeah.
And now when we chat about it, he's like, yo, dude, actually, had you not made fun of me at the time, I would have probably started crying because I really loved this girl and I didn't know what to do and whatnot. So I made light of a situation not knowing that he's feeling something. Like, it's just incredible to sit in a space and not know that you're having a one-in-a-lifetime experience. And then when you look back at it, those emotions, you're like, had I would have acted differently? So that hindsight and that, I think it's quite incredible. You know, I think that's, like, even now, like, we could have this interview and then next year you win a Grammy. And then it's like, oh my God, like, he sang for me in studio. And then I have it on video.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Or in the next 10 years...
I cut off most of my high school friends because they didn't believe in my vision. That's
but like,
basically really...
I think life is crazy. I think life is crazy. Like, for example, we could sit here today and not see each other for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And then one day, you winning a Grammy, I'm winning a Nobel Prize. You're like, fuck, I remember when I met this guy. So I think every single moment counts.
Yeah. Are you guys still tight with your high school friends?
Like, not really.
Not at all. No friends
like,
at all.
Like not really no friends. Yeah, you get those people you met. But like the people that I was closest with in high school, I cut them off because... I've always been this person of, I want to be an artist. I want to do this.
Sure.
And no one really... Dude,
yeah.
Like, to be honest, I had no one to look up to. So they'll just look at me like, you're good at science. You're good with math. Why don't you just go do... So for me, because I didn't want that negative energy, I just decided, you know what? Let me just live my life.
Yeah.
It's not like I hate them or anything. But it's not people that when I look at, I'd be like... I do cherish the times we had together, but it's just that they did not respect what I wanted to do.
Sure.
I decided to.
I think for me it's a bit different. I've always think like emotionally. I think I've always been on the very much alternative side. Yeah. I've always been into alternative shit. So I always felt like growing up at Dukya, even in Cape Town, I always felt I didn't fit in
because
I used to question everything. I used to question relationships. I used to question, you know, is this the girl I want to be with?
Yeah.
You know, I used to question, am I into girls even at that time? You know, like just question all these things. So I've always been that guy who's curious about knowledge of, am I doing shit because that's what the world taught me? Or am I doing shit because that's what I want to do? So essentially, like, I've lost a lot of friends because of that.
Where
I mean, like, I don't have friends from primary school. I can't even remember half the people I went to primary school with. In high school, I think I have only two best friends. But I think over the years, like, I think I lose friends quicker than, you know, people get dragged on Twitter.
Yeah, but like, at the same time, you should always, like, sometimes we're so quick to point out what someone else did.
Yeah.
You never look at yourself. Sometimes you need to look at, why am I losing friends?
Yeah.
And then when you look at that, you look, okay, what's wrong with it? Because we're so quick to blame someone else for a problem.
No,
like,
definitely.
When something happens, you're like, fucked up. You're fucked up. But why is it that everyone in your life is fucking you over?
Yeah.
Why don't you think that maybe, maybe?
Just close up totally, I'll share a call.
But
I think for me, in life, I'm a traveler.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm not the kind of person to sit in one place forever.
Yeah.
I am the kind of person who wants to go from Earth to Mars, from Mars to Pluto.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, not everyone wants to do that.
Sure.
You know, I'm that kind of person generally. Like, I'm not a very much an... oh my God, I love you forever. Like, I'm not that person. Like, I struggle with that. Like, because growing up, like, grew up in that environment of consistently moving. So I also think, even in my career, if you look at the steps I've taken in my career, it's always like one extreme to the next.
Yeah.
Because that's how I survive. I feel alive when I go from one extreme to the next extreme because I feel challenged. I feel I need to adapt. My life is about adapt to die.
Mm-hmm.
So I found myself, dude, I used to be into rock music.
Sure.
I used to have girls cut me, drink sex, dude, like crazy necrophilia shit, like crazy shit. Then I moved from that and then I was... dude. And then, dude, crazy. I moved from that. Then I went to church for a couple of years. I was saved. I was saved. And then I used to cry in church. Yeah. And then I went from that. And then I was like a playboy doing the most. Like, I've just lived in these different sort of like groups of different types of people.
Yeah.
But it was almost like I'm visiting their lives. That's how it feels like. So I've been in a space where I used to smoke a lot of weed, like hectic amounts of weed, like stoned, jobless. Dude, I was even growing dreadlocks at some point. Then I was a jock. I played sport. Then I used to be like, I like that my life is so versatile that way. And sure, I think that's what inspires my work.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've ever been in a space of, oh my word, I've been with this friend for like 30 years or whatever. But I have friends who've stuck around. Yeah. Hopefully they'll stick around
but
longer.
Even family. Like, I realize, like, you, like, sometimes it happens a lot when you live in a rural area.
Yeah.
And you go live in a city. Mm-hmm. Then you become woke and, you know, you have this new view of viewing life. But, like, how do you... When you go home, how do you connect to
everyone else?
Let's cool it out, you know?
Because, you change a lot and the place doesn't change.
But to be honest, for me, what made me not change was the fact that my mom always stresses one thing. She's like, look, as educated as you are, or as smart as you are, as whatever you are, you need to understand one thing. When I meet you now today, I understand the world of design.
Yeah.
I don't understand the world of music.
Sure.
Let me not look down on you because you don't know anything about about design. You know, you see. So for me, it's always been that thing of when you meet someone, you never know what they might teach you. The most, and like the one person also Tibana Naistratwin who didn't even go to school, you would be surprised what they would teach you. Yeah. Well,
yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So for me, it's always been that thing of yes, this is what you know, but when you get to a place, be open to new things, learn new things, and you never know how that might teach you. Like umzekelo mna, with my work, I do a lot of culturally related work. It's because mna qhoekhaya ngo old day kwakusithiwa jonga beke lalini ambo tofa inkomo ukuthi yebo, I know those things, and at that time it didn't make sense. But then now, because I was getting into this whole thing of design, I was like, okay, how am I gonna differentiate myself with other people? Everyone is doing this. Ne?
Yeah.
So now, how am I going to make myself look a bit different? The cool it down, yes, but I had that understanding.
Yeah,
so I was like, okay, you know what? This is what I know. Yeah, well. Now, band big lalin, big gambuts, big overall, ndibeba, ndibai janielal.
Yeah,
well. Yeah. Then, can't pick it down. I look clean. Yeah, well. So for me, it's just understanding that you can be able to fit in everywhere as long as you understand the place you're in.
Yeah. Now let's move to you. I think for me that the today's show is also about how do you stay authentic and successful as an African artist, right? And I think your work is very authentic. Like, you sing in Xhosa, and then you travel to Europe and sing in Xhosa. Like, and whereas most artists, especially as Africans, we always feel this uneasiness of let me try change so people can understand me. Or, and especially as Black people, we always want to compromise ourselves, to fit into a white space. Like, let me translate my whole album into English. You know what I'm saying? Even your drawings, they're quite out there. Your drawings are very spiritual, very religious, very African religion, I would say. And it explores a lot of... it explores a lot that's not seen in the eye. I feel like it can, when I look at your work, I'm like, is Nyanya talking through you type of thing?
That's what I always say to people. I always say, I'm not here to speak to you like this. I'm here to speak to you in a spiritual sense.
Yeah.
I and if you notice most of the things I upload, I sometimes don't even caption it. But for me, the thing is, I'm the type of person, what I want to do is, I understand one thing. There's a disconnect between African culture and the youth today, be it culture, be it history. So I want to be that bridge. I remember last year I did a series of illustrations where I did like South African politicians, and they all looked like cool kids. And I even did a jacket Mandela due to that. And I got a lot of flack on social media because of that. Like, a lot of people were saying a lot of negative things, but didn't get to me. But what those people didn't understand was the fact that I'm 21 now. There are a lot of 21-year-olds who know about Mandela, but they don't really know the story. There are a lot of 21-year-olds who know about Chris Hani. Yeah, well, some don't even know who Chris Hani is, don't know Steve Biko. It just looks cool when you're wearing a Steve Biko t-shirt.
Yeah.
So for me, I've always wanted to teach people in a way that they would understand. So I chose design. I'm not a photographer, but I do take pictures. Yeah, well, but for me, more than anything, I want to communicate those things that I feel like the generation of today does not understand, but do it in a way in which, like, for example, if you want to teach, let's say, the youth of today about, let's say, also history,
yeah,
you do it through photography, through video, you even do virtual reality. Yeah, well,
yeah.
Do you not think they'll be interested? Because that's what they're interested in. You can't be teaching me something about Indo Yakdala using old ways. I'm not going to understand.
Yeah.
So for me, that's how I look at life. Yeah, well, but yes, obviously, when you do things like that and you're trying to bring in things that are new ideas, a lot of people who are already in the spaces that you want to be in don't want to work with someone like you because they don't know what you might do next.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
can I ask why, I mean, what you're saying could have lived through other mediums.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose illustration and how did you choose illustration? Because also I feel like as an artist, you're a guy that's transitioned quite a lot because at first you were very much graphic design orientated, mm-hmm. but I think over the last few months, actually, you've grown to such a point where I think through your work, I've been able to see you get more in touch with yourself and mm-hmm. I've seen your voice get louder. To the point where now you're like, I'm hand-drawing this stuff, and your stuff has become even more spiritual. Do you think, talk me through that process of finding yourself, and how has illustrating helped you find yourself and share that with other people?
Okay, I think I should go back with this. Né?
Yeah.
So, grew up it too, Jane. No art school, no nothing. The only thing I could do was draw. I was lucky, I'm ambidextrous, so I can use both hands to draw. Né?
Hectic.
So I was always that kid, like when I was doing grade 4, kids in grade 9 were not better than me, you know, when it came to drawing. So I told my mom that, okay, look, I want to study design.
Yeah.
This is what, grade 9? Because for us, when you get to Boma Joburg, high school is grade 8.
Yeah.
Koti, high school is grade 10. You know, you're in the same school till grade 9. You know? So my mom's like, hey, dude, look, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, what I understand is this, but in the next 3 years from now, you might not want to do design. So I'm not going to let you go do art in high school. So go do science. Yeah? So I go to, I go study science, Kenyan,
Yeah.
It's a normal government school. Whereby in grade 10, there was like 100 and something of us in class. Is too low. The 80 something. So you need to come in early in class. You know? If you're late, dude, trust me. Like people I went to grade 10 with, like I was with in grade 10. They'll tell you, I brought a chain to chain my chair and my desk. You know, my chair and my desk. So I grew up around things like that. You know? So grade 10, grade 11, grade 12. So now grade 12, I'm like, okay, now you need to choose what. I've always known what I want to do. I've always known. Like, it's always been that thing of, I'm good at everything. I was a smart kid growing up, but I've always known that, look, me, I just want to draw. I didn't know what it was at that. I didn't know what graphic designing was. I didn't know what textile design. I didn't know anything about those things. And then, fine, I do that. And then I get to varsity. Varsity, I don't know Photoshop. I don't, like, literally the only thing I could do was draw. Né? And I could only use one pencil, HB.
Yeah, yeah.
So I draw with my pencil. Then I get there. Hey, dog, people are using Boma Illustrator, Boma, all of these things.
Yeah.
I don't know what these things are. I'm like, okay, you know what? I told myself one thing. Né? But look, I might not pass go match first year.
Yeah. Né?
But June, second year, I'm going to kill all of you.
So where was this?
This is PE now. Yeah. Like I went to NMMU PE. So I studied, I taught myself a lot of things to an extent where I was one of the best when it came to drawing. I was one of the best when it came to computer Photoshop stuff. Bear in mind, I did not know what Photoshop was. I would hear people, Kubona to Ireland, you should Photoshop you. Everyone knows that. But I didn't know what Photoshop was.
Yeah.
When I got to varsity, the only thing I could do was type on Word and do a PowerPoint presentation. Because I didn't grow up with computers. Like, I can't go computer. Like, who has a computer? He's the only Khrotman who has a computer.
Yeah.
That's the person that I went to. Né? And he taught me like a couple of things, but it wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
So after that, I get to first year. I study this thing to my introductory studies where basically they teach you everything.
Yeah.
But for me, what I learned from that was, you know, sometimes you need to learn how to don't know everything, but yeah. understand everything. You know?
Yeah.
Like for an example, if you're into fashion, but at the end of the day, when you get a photographer who's gonna shoot your stuff, you need to make them. You know what you want. You should be like, okay, no. And you should understand, okay, no, this is what I want. I want this to be like this. I want this to be like this. Yeah, well, when you meet a producer, I'm not saying be a producer, but understand that, okay, no, this is what I want here. This is what I want here. This is what I want here.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, okay, I need to do one thing because my aim from then was to start a multimedia visual communication company, né? Whereby you have like a huge building and there's like different floors. It's fashion. It's music. It's all of these things. I don't want to be a musician, but I love music, but there's a certain way that I want music to be put out. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so let me learn all of these things. Then I still think till today I should have studied graphic designing. I didn't. Okay. So I went to textile designing because I was into a lot of fashion.
Yeah.
I actually applied to the Threaded Man.
Really?
I applied. Now that I think about it, my second year. Dude, I sent them a nice email. Dude, I'm like, hi. My name is Masonwabe.
What year is this? Mm-hmm.
This is 2015.
Hectic.
And look twice. Now, I'm the art director of the Threaded Man.
Yeah.
Did they respond at least?
Dololo response.
And you know
okay,
what?
Okay, I'm a hard person to get a hold of. Actually, because I think most of the time I underestimate how huge my platform is.
Mm-hmm.
So people freak me out. I don't like people.
Dude, like,
so
like,
I get
so
freaked
hurt.
Out easily by people.
So my biggest options at that time were, okay, see ya. Ulatu. So I applied to both.
Oh yeah, that's where I met you actually.
But this is now I applied second year for an internship. Eh? Both did not reply.
Mm.
You know? But somehow I ended up working my course, which was a great experience.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because of that email.
Oh.
Like we discussed that email when I was there. I'm like, actually guys, yeah, I emailed you. And they're like, no, we saw it, but the thing is we were not taking interns at that time. Yeah. Well. So like for me it's always been that thing of understanding everything and understanding who you are, and at the same time you never know what people are going through. They might be going through the same thing that you're going through, so just telling your own story in your way, because I want to tell my story in my own way, could be helping someone else out there. Yeah, well, I'm not a therapist. Yeah, well,
yeah.
I'm just saying what I want to say however I want to say it, but somehow people do relate to it.
That's really amazing. What I want to find out from you, Wong, is have you ever felt the need to compromise your artistry to make others feel comfortable?
And
what I mean by compromise, what I mean by compromise, so you find yourself at a stage in Germany and they asked, you know what, can you sing this song in English? Have you ever actually felt like the essence of what you're doing is being compromised? Have you ever felt that way within your career, and how do you tackle something like that?
Yeah, like they've asked me to mime. I was like, no.
Really?
Like
they
I'm
ask
not
you to mime.
Guy, you know.
Apparently, Zahara can't actually play the guitar, so she mimes the playing.
Hey!
No, guys, at the Summers, I remember in 2016, they were like, no, she can't play the guitar. Like
so, all along.
Because we were planning like a whole live band thing. They're like, no, she mimes it. I'm not saying this is true.
But
this is
what we were told. I've seen Zara play live like in front of me. So she can actually.
She can. You see that?
There we go.
Yeah. So we were told, no, she doesn't
but
play.
But a lot of people who you think know things, but they don't.
So, guys, let's not be close to the point here. So you've been asked to mime.
Yeah. I feel like in this album I'm gonna write some English tracks, but I don't think it's because I'm compromising.
It's just growth.
Yeah. It's like becoming difficult for me to go to different countries and completely play music that
they don't understand.
They don't understand. I mean, it's nice and they relate to it, but sometimes you need those songs that people are gonna relate even more than just the melody and the feeling. But I'm worried about it, how they're gonna sound, and now they're gonna be even so much better than the closer ones, because now people are
and
actually
that's the
gonna
thing.
Hear
like,
what they say.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think also like what I like about like especially right now, like the reason why I feel like house music is going to such a high level, especially South African house music, is if you look at Black Coffee when he plays, he won't play just like songs that we know as Africans, he also somehow mixes that rhythm with an international sound where there's English. So I also think, like, in terms of, like, especially South African songwriters and like, especially people like you, I think it's kind of interesting to explore that journey of how do you keep something African, but at the same time, how do you then also make it relatable to your audience and package it in a way that it satisfies home, but it also helps you expand beyond that.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult,
And how long does it take to do an album?
Usually my previous albums have taken like roundabout. I usually like work on them for 2 years, but I'm gonna work a little bit faster on this one.
When the budget is right.
Yeah.
You work faster.
Can I ask something like, so you are you signed to a record label right now?
Yeah, I'm with Universal.
Yes. Sony Universal. Yeah. Is that so? Is Universal and Sony one?
No.
So Universal is separate, and then Sony. And Sony, yeah. So why do people always say Sony Universal?
No, they don't. They don't say Sony Universal.
Okay, maybe I say so.
No, there are some record label that like have two names. Like,
so is Nasty C with Universal or Sony?
Is with Universal, I think.
Okay.
But I think don't you as a musician sign, because like for example, you look at people like Big Sean. Big Sean is under Good Music, ne?
Yeah.
Big Sean is also under Def Jam, ne? But he's being managed by Roc Nation.
Yeah.
So don't you sometimes get signed to two recording labels?
Yeah. Like I'm at Universal Music as my record label, but my publishing is at Sony Music.
You see?
Publishing, sorry.
So that's where you get this lando from.
But like there Sony are Universal. BMGs, there's like record labels that form, that come together sometimes.
Yeah, and then...
And then that you have those names like where BMG, Sony, or I forgot the actual EMI.
It's the same thing that happened with Kalawa Jasmine, and then it was Kalawa Jasmine.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I get you.
Amazing. So, Summers.
Summers.
Is this your first time being nominated?
My first album was actually nominated 2 times. Mm-hmm. This one's just nominated once.
But can I ask you something? Why?
But
where does your... What is surprising to me about you, the more and more I talk to you, there's so much you've actually flipping accomplished. But you're so like... You don't seem like the kind of guy. And I think that's one of the things that I think is so critical for young people to learn. I think most people, when they achieve something... They do it. They want to do things for the world. So every single thing, like, you know, our space in terms of like fashion, like, media. Oh my God, guys, I've been selected to go to Germany. Oh, you know how we are, you know how we are. Like, we like to always be, this is what I'm achieving. Yeah. But you seem like a guy who's very much, you feel like you're enough. You feel chilled, but you've achieved so many. I mean, you've been nominated for 3 summers already.
Yeah.
But I would have never known that. Like, you don't, even your Instagram, you're always just chilling with your Converse sneakers.
Yeah.
Then you'll be like,
I wish I could get off, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, sometimes I just, like, have I do have a problem with the way, like, sometimes people, like, showcase, like, you know, life. Especially, I always think about it, especially in a country where people don't have so much.
And this,
I always wonder, like, imagine if I was in high school and trying to keep that Instagram life and, like, not having much. It would just kill me.
Hey, dude, I was at that point in life, because I also started out as, because I studied textiles, I started out as a blogger.
Yeah.
Hey, I blogged. Now, what I noticed about this blogging is, one, you need money for photo shoots.
Yeah.
Two, you can't be wearing the same clothes. I was like, no. So I decided, you know what? This is not your talent anyways, boys. And you also don't like being in front of the camera.
Yeah.
So what you should do is do your own things. Like, now I'm at a point where I'm so chilled about life. People don't actually know how I look like. People know, like, people have come across my, the people who've shown me my Instagram account.
Yeah.
And they don't know it's mine. And I'm just like, this is what I want. I want to be able to live my life and not try and do certain things because so-and-so did this, so-and-so did this. Yeah, so I'm trying as much as I can to remove myself from everything else that's happening. Yeah. Just produce good work, and that's it.
Yeah.
Can I ask a critical question? I think as young black Africans, and let's say even black South Africans, and let me take it further, as young black closer men, you know that where you come from, there is a lot of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
That poverty could be within your family or within outside your family, but we all come from a very big problem of lack of resources. Now, as young black people who come from that background, who've been given an opportunity to rise to the next level, so I'm doing I think I'm being privileged enough, and God has given me grace in fashion. God has given you grace in music. God has given you grace in art. What responsibility do you think we hold towards where we come from? Because as you're saying, Nyani, like, we live these lives. I mean, as much as you might have 100 followers, 5,000 or 10,000 or 100,000, you still have young people following you because they admire your work. And how important is it for us to be conscious that, for example, you might be a millionaire in the next 3 years or whenever you're a millionaire or tomorrow. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, as we work harder, we get more money. And as we get more money, our lives change. We drive nicer cars. We live in nicer places. We travel more. And then we're posting all these things.
And you'd be surprised.
So how do you guys feel that with the rise of your personal success, it needs to also be balanced with a certain humility to be conscious of where you come from? So, like, with you saying that already, you're like, in a country where people don't have much, I can't be necessarily sharing certain things. Yeah. So I just want to get into deeper into that level of thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on the hustle, you know. I grew up hard, you know. And, like, those years have always, like, influenced me and, like, really made me, like, not... Like, I remember in high school as well, like, when you start to... You hang out with your other poor friends and you're like, you don't need them rich people.
Yeah, I think all of us go through that bitter, fuck rich people moment.
When someone has... their dad has a car.
The pride too. It's also like, we are like from the bottom, but look at us. We're like making it.
I think I've been through, there's a period of time, I think 2013, 2014, I was bitter. I was like, fuck rich people.
I
used to even say, fuck rich black people. I'm like, they don't care about us. Actually, so that's actually part of my question is that, like, for example, there's a lot of rich black people in this country that I feel don't do shit for black people. They will claim that they are, like, black empowerment, black movement, and then when it actually comes to execution of that, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I've been in situations where I've worked with black billionaires, where I've worked with black millionaires, where I've done projects, and I'm like, yo, I've seen this guy on TV, he's gonna help me. And they've never, and there's literally millionaires who've never paid me for my services.
Like I think we should take it a step further.
Please don't be spicy.
I'm not gonna be spicy. I'm just gonna be honest about a couple of things. Like, for me, one of my goals in life is to be the minister of arts and culture.
Hectic.
No, why? Because the reality of life is, Natim Teto right now. Natim Teto is not doing anything for us. We're doing so much, and there's so much that could happen. In like, you look at people, like, I'm not disrespecting people who didn't study for things, but you look at people who studied for certain things, and you're going to be in the same queue as someone who didn't study. Like, I feel like there should be a preference, number one. Number two, we're doing so many creative things. Like, for me, there's one thing that I've always wanted to do. Like, when I get to where I want to get, talk to, let's say, the Department of Arts and Culture, and then they give you more, like, let's say, 2-3 million. Yeah. And then what you do with that 3 million is, it's not yours. You don't even keep it. It's not even in your bank account. What you do is, I take, let's say you're a young musician, let's say an artist. I say, okay, look, show me your work. And then if you show me your work, and then I buy your work for the same amount as your school tuition. Like, if you would ask yourself, where does the money go? Like, where does all the money, where does all this money go? They'll tell you, budget. No, we have we've allocated this amount of money. But let's be honest, alcohol brands are doing more for art than the Department of Arts and Culture. The Department of Arts and Culture is not doing anything for us.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just like,
but how do we change that? So that's what I'm asking. That's what I'm saying. Like Duma Mina, how do we change that? You know, Mamuini, send us a signal.
Multiply.
But you have a proper platform where you can run.
But that's what I'm saying is that for me, the most difficult part I think about, especially right now, I think in my business where I'm at this breaking point where I feel over the last 5 years, I've wanted to help people. But then I've been accused of exploiting people. Yeah. So, for example, my platform, I didn't have money in the last, like, 3 years, you know, when I started out to pay writers. I'd be like, yo, I'm looking for writers who are keen to use the platform however they want to use the platform. And then people would agree, be like, oh, yeah, I want to write. And then they'd be like, yeah, but see,
you didn't pay me.
And I'd be like, okay, so then if then when people send me, like, people like you send me emails to say, see, we want to work with you. then I'm always like, I don't want to respond because there's nothing I can give you, because then I can't pay you. But then people are like, no, the platform is powerful. People, so it's always a difficult spot of how do you balance the fact that, because I'm also still building, right? I'm not Patrice Motsepe where I can be like, yeah, come through, here's a, here's money, here's a salary. So I can't necessarily operate at that level. But then people would approach me to say, Sia, we want, we would like this opportunity to work with you. And then when they work with me, they're like, okay, we see I'm writing 4 articles a month, but I haven't received payment. I'm like, but I told you I don't have the budget for this. So it's like, how do you give people opportunity? But at the same time, is that like, it's just how do you balance that? Like, even with you, you can't necessarily right now pay for a young producer to work with you on your album full time every single day. But they can be young producers willing to do that for free. He's like, yeah, I'm keen. And then he can turn and say, you exploited him. So it's like,
happens, yeah, yeah.
It's for us, it's so tough because we don't come from rich families that have all this money. So how do we balance that?
I think more than anything, you take this.
Oh, really? No, I was just gonna say, I think we could have an amazing country.
Yeah, like,
that's what I really believe. But I do think, and I'm not a very political person. Like, I don't have the solutions for South Africa. But I think we could have an amazing country. But I think we will never have an amazing country until we address the inequality in our society. I think if us, the people that are doing well, don't push for equality, basically, that, you know, that I think those are the things we should be using social media and Instagram to be fighting for, that, you know, that you can, if you're poor, that you can still realize your dreams. I just really think that's the solution, and it starts with conversations like this, people making it kind of hip to be equal and to care for people that are not as, you know, to speak for the voiceless. And like, I don't see that happening a lot. I feel like a lot of people, it's more like, yo, look at what I'm doing and look at what I've got. Yeah.
For me, I'd say it's image. Ne? The problem is this. Ne? You approach me. You say, okay, I want to work with you. Ne? See, you already have an image. Ne?
Yeah.
And the thing is, the way you portray yourself on social media, you look like someone who's got money. That's what the problem is, number one.
So no, now, but the thing is, having money doesn't mean, like, I can have money to sustain my life and pay my bills. But having money to now sustain another, like, guys, running a business is tough.
No, I get it.
Because, for example, running a business is that after your overheads, you could be earning 30K a month. You pay your rent, you pay your car. You have money to sustain your life. Now, if you have to sustain someone else, you now need an extra 10K every month. So now, instead of getting an income of 30, now you need 50 because there's another 10 that has to go to the, and that has to be consistent for 12 months. That's tough, guys.
That's why Thapelo Mokoena, he said on an interview, I don't remember which interview it was, but he said, you know, the one thing that he does is, and this is how I work now.
Yeah.
Do as much as you can on your own for yourself and hire when you should and when you have to, when you can afford to, and when you because the problem with that, like, you can learn these things, and then at a later stage you will be able, because the, like, are you connected to our information is useless at the end of the day. So if you learn how to write your own stuff, you learn how to do, now you have a standard of what you want. When you hire someone, you have a standard of what you want. The problem with us is, I feel like, you want to hire people when you know you can't afford it. You will break your back. But at the same time, sometimes you do need to hire people. But I feel like, try it yourself, and see how it works. And then if you see that, no, this is a need. Like, for example, I can't sing. I've never even had a dream of being a rapper, even. So I know if something would need a musician, I'd have to hire you. Simple. But if I don't have the money, then how are you benefiting? Because I always say this to people. When I work with people, I always say this. I'm like, when someone says, I don't have a budget, I'm like, okay, no, it's fine. I understand. At the end of the day, you don't have a budget. But now, how am I? I might not benefit in this financially. But what are you bringing to the table for me? What's going to help me grow? It might not be something of monetary value. What are you bringing?
You're right. Even with music, you know, you're right. You know, there are ways that you can get people to work for you.
Simple.
and return without necessarily paying them. You can say, you know, come play this bass line for me. at your sister's wedding or when you get married, I will play for free.
You see?
Yeah.
So it should be that whole thing of, like, even for me, like, right now, I'm working with a tattoo artist because I want to have tattoos. But I'm like, and then when I worked with her, when I spoke to her, she was like, dude, I don't have the budget for, I can't afford the services that you provide. And then she was like, look, let it be simple. I'll do your tattoos and you'll do graphics. So you do have things like that. Yeah, but at the same time, you can't be exchanging with someone.
Guys, actually need to shut. We're running out of time.
I know.
We've been talking for an hour.
Yeah.
We've been talking for an hour. But guys, side note. This is like a side note. Funny thing, because we're talking about social media and uplifting a certain lifestyle. So now I just got a friend of mine. He's like, Sia, are you okay? I'm like, well, I'm good. What's up? He's like, I just want to talk about your post recently on Instagram. Like, fam, it's no longer as flashy as it used to be. Are you okay? Like, I'm like, no, dude, I'm fine. Like, I'm just in a different space. Spiritually, I'm in a space of like, I don't have to explain myself. I don't have to. I must have the freedom to post what I want to post. If it feels right for me, it feels right for me. Yeah. No, it's not about likes. It's not about who likes and who doesn't like. It's about being authentic to myself. So it's actually crazy that that is how people think. So, Bongezi, where to from here? You mean you've got the Summers. Yeah. By the time people hear this pre-record, you would have either won or not won.
I've won!
But I think... But I think you've won in my eyes.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you,
but
thank you.
What is next for you?
Next, I'm doing Grahamstown.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
my whole black family is coming. Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
I'm gonna infiltrate the Grahamstown Festival.
Are you based in Joburg or Cape Town?
I'm Joburg.
Joburg. You've never lived in Cape Town?
No, but my management is from.
Because, like, someone was telling me, no, Bongezi lives in Cape Town. I'm like, no.
And to keep out the money.
Yeah, live in the rough Joburg.
So you're in Joburg, and next is Grahamstown Festival.
Grahamstown Festivals. And also I'm at Opikopi. I don't know if you guys...
Yeah, I know Opikopi.
Can I ask you a question?
Are you guys coming?
Can I ask? Can we be friends? And then to go Opi, can I come as part of your team?
Mm-hmm. I can do that, actually.
Can I come? Like,
yeah,
I've never.
I'm inviting you on air. I'm going to get you your tickets and you can
come. I'll come with you. I'll ride with you the whole weekend.
Okay, great.
I'll come with you.
I don't spend the whole weekend there.
I can't listen to Doof Doof for 3 days.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like I'll go crazy.
I go there that day and I play and I come back.
That's fine. Okay. That's fine. We can go with. When is Opikopi?
In August.
So August, you're in Opi. Now, June, July, Grahamstown Festival, because I think Grahamstown's end of June-ish.
Grahamstown, mm-hmm. And we're going to Paris and Greece.
That's exciting. Yeah, do you think like how has traveling, do you think, has opened your eyes?
Oh, it has, yes.
Nandilikaba, so when I sometimes I'm like, yo. Like each time I travel, it's still a yo. Coming from Etukia and then you're now at the Louvre and you sing Mona Lisa, you're like, yeah, okay.
Especially Japan.
Yeah.
Like when I was in Japan, I realized, guys, South Africa's a small place. It's
like,
Africa.
The way you're looking at me, it's like I will relate. I've never been outside of South Africa.
Yeah, yeah. Soon.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, it does change your mind. Like there's also like you also really discover the world is big. Like you might be working on something and you think like you don't have an audience.
Yeah.
You'll be shocked.
When I travel, I feel like I'm in a movie set. It doesn't feel real. It's like when I'm in Paris, I'm always like, wow, imagine like, what are people doing in South Africa right now? Like someone's in Dukia chilling. I'm in Paris. Like, whoa, we're in two different worlds, like same existence, same time, but experiencing life completely differently.
Different, yeah.
But it's traveling that made me realize like, damn, this is a fucking amazing country.
Yeah.
With so much interesting happening, with so many interesting people, with such warm people as well. That's one thing I never realized about South Africa, how we so carefree with each other and how nicely we treat each other.
Yeah. And then what's next with you? What's next besides doing 3 Men covers? I see you also developing, you know, your skills. So where's your journey right now?
I've started my own company called Create.
Yeah.
My first clients, we're hosting an exhibition on the 9th of June. I won't tell you who now.
Okay.
Because it's only going to be via invite. So.
Oh, I think I know.
Yeah.
You've told me.
So we're doing that, and I'm in charge of the graphics, and then they're going on tour. And then the tour, I'll be the one in charge of art direction and. Yeah, well, funny enough, I don't have employees, so I'm doing this all by myself.
But that's how you start. That's how you start.
So that's what I'm doing now. I've taken a break in like a lot of things. I'm not pushing as much as I did last year because I'm focusing on school. I want to finish school because I dropped out last year. But now I'm like, you know what? Let me just finish this thing. Because what I understood is sometimes you'll be doing well, but there are a lot of places that you can't get into just because you don't have a qualification. Not that I'm saying someone doesn't have a qualification but sometimes the moment it says something about you when you say, okay, no, look, I studied and I finished. You might not be studying what you loved and then doing what you love now, but the fact that you were able to put bum to chair and finish a degree, it shows a certain character about you as a person. I'm finishing school. There's a lot, man. There's a lot. I'm working with a certain alcohol brand. We're going to be doing an exhibition. Let me say an experience.
Okay.
It's something that you've never seen.
And we hope we're invited, Giput.
Don't worry.
But guys, I have to shut it down. Like,
I have one question to ask you. If somebody wanted to design their CD with you. Where do they like get hold of you?
And I feel like right now,
are you open to that?
We're like this now. So after this, we're gonna talk.
Can you commit to designing the cover of this album?
No, I will. I'm gonna do it. Like, I even tried. I'm gonna show you. I'm not sure if it was on Instagram. I DM'd this man. Did he not ignore me?
Yeah, you're right. Let's cut it right.
It's been a great show. These guys will collaborate. They'll do a cover together. I'm Siyabonga Bhele, live on Cliff Central. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow Bongiziwe at Bongiziwe Mabandla across all his social media. Please like sending messages about the summers. Masonwabe is the 21st century black man, or is it Gqirha now? What is it?
No, it's the 21st century black man on Instagram. On Twitter, it's my name, Masonwabe.
I thought it was 21st century Gqirha. But okay.
No, guys.
Yeah, Twasa or something. But okay, that's great. So, guys, it's Siya Bhele. I'm out. Thank you so much for joining us. And let's kick it.
This is CliffCentral.com.